Hello friends, how about an amazing fact? Westminster Abbey in London is one of Great Britain's most famous churches. English monarchs since William the Conqueror in 1066 have been crowned in the church, and most of them are buried there. Famous citizens like Isaac Newton and David Livingstone are also buried there. But one of the most amazing people buried in the church was a farmer named Thomas Parr. Born in 1483 during the reign of King Richard III, Thomas Parr is reported to have lived to the age of 152, witnessing the crowning of 10 monarchs during his long life. In 1635, King Richard I invited Thomas to the palace so that he could meet this remarkable man. The king asked what the secret of his long life was. Thomas told the king that he had lived a simple life, doing the work of a farmer and eating mostly potatoes, oatmeal, bread, and cheese. While visiting the king, Thomas ate the rich food served at the palace. That night, he became very ill and died. The king felt so terrible that his food had killed Britain's oldest citizen that he commanded that Thomas Parr be buried in England's most famous church, Westminster Abbey. Did you know, friends, that the Bible gives practical principles that can lead to a long and healthy life? Stay tuned for more. You're listening to Bible Answers Live. Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello friends, this is Pastor John Ross. Pastor Doug Batchelor is out of town, but this is a live, interactive Bible study. And if you have a Bible-related question, we would love to hear from you tonight. We have some phone lines that are open. This is a good time to pick up your phone and give us a call. The number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. Let me give that number to you again. It's 800-463-7297. Or if you want to have the word abbreviation for the number, it's 800-GOD-SAYS. 800-463-7297. Good time to give us a call and we can talk about the Bible together. Well, friends, before we go further, we always like to start this program with a word of prayer. The Bible is God's Word, and in order for us to correctly understand it, we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I'd like to just have a short word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study the Bible together, and we want to ask a special blessing upon this program. Be with those who are listening wherever they might be, and guide us, Lord, into a deeper and a fuller understanding of your Word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I opened the program by talking about Thomas Parr, this remarkable Englishman who lived to the age of 152. And the secret of his long life was just a simple diet, hard work, doing the work of a farmer, and eating simple foods. And then he ended up going to the king's palace where he ate those rich foods, which eventually cost him his life. You know, the Bible has quite a bit to say with reference to health. In 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2, we read the following. Beloved, I pray that you might prosper in all things and be in health, just as your souls prosper. You know, friends, when it comes to health, God is concerned about the way we take care of ourselves, and he's concerned about our health. God communicates to us through our minds, and our minds need to be in a healthy condition to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit and in the study of the Word. We have a free offer that we'd like to give to anyone who calls and asks for it. It's called God's Free Health Plan. It's filled with Bible principles that lead to a long and healthy life. If you'd like to receive this free resource, just give us a call on our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line, 800-835-6747. You can ask for the free offer, God's Free Health Plan. We'll be happy to send that to anyone who calls and asks. The phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. 800-463-7297. And we're going to go to the phone lines. Our first caller this evening is Marks, listening from Silver Spring, Maryland. Marks, welcome to the program.
Hi.
You on the air.
Okay, I have a question on Genesis chapter 6, verse 3.
Yes.
That talks about, you know, God said that because humans, they were so bad and, you know, they remain 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the chapter before that, chapter 5 of Genesis, in the last verse, talks about when Noah had his three sons. He was 500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the chapter 7 talks about when the flood occurred and Noah was 600 years old.
Right.
It looks like there's a 100-year span from the time that he had his sons and the time that the flood occurred. And is that 120 years means the lifespan of the people because of the wickedness, or that's the probation time?
It refers primarily to the probationary time. So 120 years before the flood came, God said to Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man, meaning the end is coming. They're going to have 120 years. And it was during that 120-year period that Noah was instructed by God to build the ark. So the building of the ark took about 120 years. And then at the end of that time period, Noah and his family entered into the ark, and the door was shut by God. An angel shut the door, and then the flood came. So that's a 120-year probationary time period that had been given to the people living before the flood. Now, doubtless, during this 120-year time period, Noah, in addition to building the ark, was probably preaching to the people and telling them that judgment was soon to come. Unfortunately, not very many people responded to his preaching. It was just basically he and his family that entered into the ark.
Okay, but the 100-year span, do you think that has something to do with the time frame, the 100 years?
The 120 years was the time period that God had given the antediluvian world to come to some kind of repentance, to reach a point of repentance before the flood came. And that was also the time period when the ark was being built.
Okay. All right, that's clear enough. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call, Mark. Good question. If you have a Bible question, the number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. 800-463-7297. Our next caller is Montgomery, and he's listening in South Carolina. Montgomery, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
Doing well. And your Bible question tonight?
Yes, about, I know it says in the Bible somewhere where if you pray with something and your heart truly desires it, that God will answer that prayer and give it to you. But is that only if it's in God's will?
Absolutely. God's not going to give us something that's going to be to our detriment. You know, God is too loving and too wise to give us something that is not going to be for our good. So for that reason, when we pray, we bring our requests before God. And there's nothing wrong in asking God for help, asking him for our daily needs. But we always want to finish our prayers in Jesus' name and surrendering to the will of God. Finish up our prayers by saying, Lord, your will be done. This is what I would like, and it seems to be in harmony with your will. But Lord, I will surrender my will to your will because you know what's best for me. Does that make sense, Montgomery?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. You know, we do have a little book talking about prayer, and I think it deals with this principle and some others. We'll be happy to send that to you, Montgomery, if you call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747, and you can just ask for the book on prayer. It's called Teach Us to Pray, written by Pastor Doug Batchelor. Anyone, friends, who would like to get that resource, just give us a call, 800-835-6747. That is the resource line, and ask for the book on prayer called Teach Us to Pray. The phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. Our next caller is Edward, and he's listening in the Bronx, New York. Edward, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question tonight regards the Pharisees. I know in the New Testament, Jesus had very harsh words for them.
Yes.
And I was trying to remember a reference in the Bible where Jesus mentioned the fact that they search the scriptures, and at least in that regard, they have done something good. Could you point me to that reference, or am I making this up?
No, there is a verse in John chapter 5, verse 39, where Jesus Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "You search the scriptures." In other words, they did read and study the Bible. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." But then he goes on in the next verse and he says, "But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." In other words, they studied the Bible, but they studied it for their own purposes. And they didn't study the scripture to see God's plan of salvation. And of course, all of the Old Testament pointed to Jesus as the one who was to come and be the sacrifice for sin, and yet they rejected Jesus. So Jesus said, you search the scriptures, but you don't recognize that they are the ones that testify of me, and you won't come to me.
Okay, what is that reference again, please?
It's John chapter 5 and verse 39. 39 and then
thank
also
you.
Verse 40.
Thank you very much, and I enjoy your program.
All right, well, thank you for your call, Edward. Our number here to the studio, if you have a Bible-related question, is 800-463-7297. If you call, I think we've got two more lines open. We'll get your Bible question on the air. We're going to go to our next caller, who I believe is John, listening online. John, are you there? John online? All right, maybe he's not there just yet. Let me see if we have our next caller available. We're going to have to come back to Betty here in just a minute. We're just waiting for one caller to come through, and then we'll be with John online, and we'll take that question in just a minute. You know, friends, while we're waiting for the phone lines just to catch up with the calls here, I just wanted to remind you about our free offer that we have. If you would like to call and ask for God's free health plan, it's a study guide that Amazing Facts has that I think you'll find very interesting. It has a number of important Bible principles. What does the Bible say about living a long and healthy life? Well, the Bible does have quite a bit to say about that, and we'll be happy to send you that free study guide if you would just give us a call and ask. The number for our resource line is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the free offer that we have tonight called God's Free Health Plan, and we'll send that to anyone who calls and asks. The phone number here to the studio, if you have a Bible-related question, is 800-463-7297. And let me see if our phone lines are ready. We're going to go to Betty, who is listening in Niagara Falls. Betty, welcome to the program. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Hi, Betty, and your question.
Hi. Do you want my question?
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, it's about prayer.
Sure.
I would like the pastor to comment on the importance of praying in Jesus' name. Lately, I have heard people pray to God, but they don't pray in Jesus' name. I just wonder, how important is that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, when we come to God in prayer, we want to recognize that our prayers are accepted to the Father because of Christ, because of what Christ has done. Praying in Jesus' name is more than just mentioning his name at the end of the prayer. Praying in Jesus' name is coming with a spirit of humility, yielding our will to the will of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it is placing our request before God, but then saying, "Lord, we know you know what's best for us." All of our prayers need to come in the name of Jesus. It's through his merits that our prayers are acceptable to God. And it's, of course, through what Christ does that we receive blessings from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." So mm-hmm. through prayer, we want to bring our request to the Father, but in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know if we have a pastor who daily Sundays does not do that, how does that affect our church?
Well, you know, I can't specifically speak on that situation. However, it's a good practice for a Christian to pray in Jesus' name.
Yeah, well, that's how I was taught.
Right. you know, one might want to ask and say, you know, Pastor, we noticed that you haven't specifically mentioned in your prayer, mm-hmm. we pray this in Jesus' name. Maybe it's just an oversight, or maybe it's, you know, something that he doesn't feel is that important to mention.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. If we have a sincere heart, that's what's important to God, is coming with the right attitude and coming with the right heart.
Yeah.
But I think it's also important for us to specifically, in our prayers, pray in the name of Jesus. It's a continual reminder to us that it's through Christ that we have answered prayer. It's through Christ that we have forgiveness and salvation. So I think it's a good thing to pray in the name of Jesus.
That's helped me. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate you giving us a call this evening. Our resource line is 800-835-6747. I think, Betty, you would enjoy that free offer that we have tonight. It's Teach Us to Pray. We actually have two. I mentioned one about God's free health plan, but we also have a book talking about prayer, and it's called Teach Us to Pray, and it deals with some of these important biblical principles on prayer. Our phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297, and we have Cynthia, who is listening in New York. Cynthia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor. Pastor, is there any explanation in the Bible that tells why God is going to release the devil after 1,000 years to come back?
Yes, there is. Yeah, you're referring to Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about this 1,000-year period, sometimes referred to as the millennium. Now, there are different events associated with the millennium. The millennium begins, or this 1,000-year period begins, when Jesus comes the second time. And you can read that in Revelation chapter 19, where there is a description of Christ coming. Revelation 19 is a symbolic representation of Christ coming. He's coming on a white horse. Jesus is coming, of course, in the clouds, but remember, Revelation is a symbolic book. So the beginning of the 1,000 years begins with the second coming of Christ. There is a resurrection that takes place when Jesus comes, and it's the dead in Christ who are raised. The righteous who are living are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and then those who are resurrected, as well as the righteous living who are changed, are caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And then they go with Jesus to heaven for 1,000 years. Now, with reference to the wicked at the beginning of 1,000 years, those who are in their graves remain in their graves. The wicked dead remain in their graves. The wicked living are destroyed with the brightness of Christ's coming. Revelation chapter 6 says, they turn to the rocks and the mountains, and they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? So you have the destruction of the wicked at the second coming. The righteous are all taken to heaven for 1,000 years. So the devil and his angels are bound to the earth during that 1,000-year period. Sometimes Revelation describes it as the devil being cast into the bottomless pit where he can't tempt anyone. Well, the reason he can't tempt anyone is because the righteous are all in heaven and the wicked are all destroyed. But then at the end of that 1,000-year period, you read this in Revelation chapter 21, the New Jerusalem comes from heaven. The redeemed are inside the city with Christ. And then it's at that time when the New Jerusalem comes back to the earth that the wicked are resurrected. So the righteous are inside the city and the wicked are outside the city. We have what we call the Great White Throne Judgment described there in Revelation chapter 20. And that's where every person who's ever lived will be alive at the same time. And even the wicked have an opportunity to ask the question, why am I not in the kingdom? Why am I not in the city? And at the end of that great white throne judgment, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. However, that isn't a confession that comes from the heart. It's not out of repentance. It's just overwhelming evidence. And no sooner do they confess that Jesus is Lord than Satan's able to go out and deceive the masses. And they mount their attack upon the New Jerusalem. Fire comes down, this is Revelation chapter 20, and devours the wicked and the devil and his angels. So Satan is released at the end of that 1,000-year period in that the wicked are now resurrected, and he can go about trying to deceive and tempt the wicked, because now they're all alive.
Okay, in other words, we won't be tempted a second time once we went up with in the rapture.
Correct.
Thank you. That's what I needed to know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Jesus comes and the redeemed are caught up to meet him in the air, the struggle is over for the righteous.
Wow.
Forever they're going to be with Christ and with those that love him. And, you know, heaven is going to be a place of peace, a place of joy. The Bible says there's nothing that defiles will enter in. The devil won't be able to tempt the redeemed. They'll be safe inside the city of gold. It's just the wicked that he'll go out and deceive.
I appreciate your answer so much. It's bringing me a peace that I haven't been able to enjoy.
Well, praise the Lord.
You answered my question. Thank you very much,
absolutely.
Pastor.
Well, thank you for your call, Cynthia. You know, we do have a study guide that talks about this 1,000-year period that you read about in Revelation chapter 20. It's called 1,000 Years of Rest, 1,000 Years of Peace. And we'll send that to you, Cynthia, or anyone who calls and asks for that study guide. The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is our resource line. And ask for the study guide about the millennium or the 1,000 Years of Peace. And we'll be happy to send that to anyone who calls and asks. Our phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. And we're going to go to Harry, who is listening in Queens, New York. Harry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Doug. How are you doing?
Doing well. This is Pastor Ross.
Oh, Pastor Ross, how are you doing, Pastor Ross?
Doing well, thank you.
I listen to you guys a lot.
Good. And your question tonight, Harry?
My question tonight is...
you know, Harry, you might have to turn down... you might have to turn your radio down in the background.
I believe in the Ten Commandments. I believe in the Day of Pentecost. I believe in all of those things. But I don't believe in the
Harry, let me interrupt you real quick. Could you turn your radio down? We're getting a bit of an echo.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Okay. All right. Sorry. What was the question again?
Yeah. Okay. I understand what the 7 day means and how important it is to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
My question is that is it wrong for me to believe in the 7 day, the Ten Commandments, in the Word of God, in the Pentecostal, in the faith of the Pentecost. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in all of these things. I believe in first and foremost, I believe in Jesus. And I believe that he is the point of focus. He is the place that my belief should be focused on. And in believing in him, all those things take steps and places.
Okay.
In my life. Is it wrong or should I just believe in the 7 day? With the church assembly, or go to the Baptist section,
okay,
or go to the Pentecostal section.
All right, well,
should I just keep my eye focused on Jesus?
Well, you know, absolutely. We've got to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he's our only hope of salvation. But having said that, Jesus wants us to keep our eyes focused upon him, but he also wants us to follow him and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John chapter 14, verse 15, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So in focusing on Christ, we also want to find out what are the commandments of God. What are those things that we can do that would be pleasing in his sight? And so for that reason, we do study the scriptures, and we seek to find truth. And we pray and say, Lord, by your grace, give me the strength to conform my life to the teachings of Scripture. Help me to be faithful to your commandments. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, describes God's people at the end of time and says they are the ones who keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. The same thing is repeated in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, where those living at the end of time are described as keeping the commandments of God and having the faith of Jesus. So when it comes to focusing your eyes upon Christ, yes, we need to do that. That's our only hope. But in focusing our lives upon Christ, we want to find out what his will is for us. And we do that through searching the scriptures and finding out his will and purpose for our lives.
Okay. I understand exactly what you say. My question still is that keeping my eye focused on Jesus, meaning that I believe, if you heard me clearly before, I believe in the Ten Commandments. I believe in keeping the Sabbath. I believe in the Pentecost, the day the Holy Ghost fell. on a fornus and is still here even until today. I believe in the baptism. I believe in all of these things. But why is there so much separation between us as
talking about different churches and different beliefs? Sure. Well, you know, obviously the devil's going to do everything he can to try and disrupt and disorganize the church. Jesus established the church. The disciples were the leaders in the early church. God does have a body of believers here on the earth, and he's calling us to follow him individually, but also corporately in a church setting. So the devil is going to do everything he can to confuse and to deceive. What we need to do is not just simply follow a church because maybe it's the biggest church or it's the most popular church or it has a charismatic preacher. We want to attend a church that gathers its teachings from the Word of God. In other words, everything the church believes and teaches needs to be clearly based upon Scripture. That needs to be the criteria for us when it comes to fellowship in a church-type setting. We want to know, what does the Bible say? So the Bible does describe certain characteristics of God's church, and we'll be happy to send you a study guide entitled The Search for the True Church, where you can find different Bible principles that'll help you in finding out where does God want us to be? What church does he want us to connect ourselves with? We'll send that to anyone who calls and asks. The number is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. And you can just ask for the book, The Search for the True Church, and it'll give some clear Bible principles that need to be considered when it comes to searching for a church. Thank you for your call, Harry. I appreciate it. I think we have time for maybe one more caller before the break, and we're going to go to Mario, who is listening in the Bronx, New York. Mario, welcome to the program. We have about 2 minutes, yes. Mario, and your question.
Yes, Pastor Ross. My question is, there is one Bible, and there are so many different denominations with different interpretations and different results from one Word of God.
Sure.
How is that possible?
Good question. You know, in short, if I were to summarize it with one word, it would be tradition. Different groups of people have developed different traditions over time. You wonder, how did the people in the time of Christ, and I'm talking about the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees who studied the scriptures, how did they end up rejecting Jesus, who was clearly prophesied in the scriptures to come, because they placed their man-made traditions above the clear teachings of scripture? And that's what happened. We can fall into the same trap even today. That's why we want to make sure that our teachings are clearly based upon the Bible and we stand solidly upon what the Scripture says. Friends, you're listening to Bible Answers Live. We're going to be coming up on our break here in just a few moments. But before we do that, you've probably noticed Pastor Doug is not with us this evening. And the reason being is he is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he is conducting a Bible prophecy seminar. If you'd like to be a part of that Bible prophecy seminar, you can. We have a website called Landmarks of Prophecy, just landmarksofprophecy.com, where you can actually watch the various presentations live. Matter of fact, there's one happening this evening. I think it's just about done now. But you can also go to their website and you can watch archived programs of the various presentations that Pastor Doug has done. So be sure to take a look at the website. It's landmarksofprophecy.com, just filled with great resources and a great study tool in order to study these Bible prophecies. Friends, we're just going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Hello, friends. This is Bible Answers Live. Pastor Doug is out, but the phone lines are open, and we're talking about the Bible. If you have a Bible-related question, we'd love to hear from you this evening. Our phone number here to the studio, once again, is 800-463-7297. Again, 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. And we're going to go straight back to the phone lines. We have Philip, who is listening in New Brunswick. Philip, welcome to the program.
Hello.
You on the air?
Yes, how are you, sir?
Doing well.
I have a question. I recently became contacted with my former wife. She left marriage because of abuse, indifference, and many years of trying to make a marriage work. She's been separated now for 7 months. My question to you is, if she were to become, when she becomes divorced, would I be free to marry her? Again,
you know, that's a good question. You probably don't
know the Old Testament used to have an edict.
Yeah,
is that still binding?
Well, here's the biblical principle for divorce. Before we get to remarriage, just the divorce component. Jesus says, if somebody is unfaithful in the marriage, and you've tried to make things right, but there's no mending the way. If somebody's unfaithful, in other words, they commit adultery. Then you are free to get a divorce and, remarry at that point. If somebody is in a dangerous situation, for example, in an abusive relationship, by all means, you don't want to stay in that type of environment. And it's perfectly right to separate oneself from that place or from that position. You know, specifically, though, has the other partner been faithful? Has they, have they committed adultery? Those are some of the finer points that one would have to consider. And that's where a good pastor or a godly counselor would be helpful to kind of look at each specific situation because it's all different.
Okay, she just says that her husband was indifferent to her for years, and for 3 years she wanted to leave the marriage, and so 7 months ago she did.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, you would need to kind of probably talk to a pastor about that and kind of share a little more of the background. I wouldn't rush in anything, and I don't think you're planning to. You want to proceed carefully prayer and wisdom and find out if, there are biblical grounds, and sometimes there are biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. But every situation is a little different, and that's why getting some godly counsel on these principles is helpful. You know, we do have a book that Pastor Doug wrote dealing with this very thing. It's called Divorce or Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. And it goes through the different biblical principles that I think, Philip, you'll find interesting. You might want to share this with her as well, because it's something that I think would be helpful for both of you. We'll send that to you for free. All you'll need to do is just call our resource line. It's 800-835-6747. And you can ask for the book written by Pastor Doug called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. And it'll give you some of these important Bible principles. Again, for anyone wanting to get this book, just call 800-835-6747. And if you have a Bible question, our phone line here in the studio is 800-463-7297. And our next caller is Marva, listening from New York, New York. Marva, welcome to the program.
God bless you, Herb. Thank you for taking my question. My question is, if someone has passed on and you don't know whether or not they have or were saved, are you still able to pray for them for their salvation?
Well, you know, once somebody has died, their probationary time period has come to an end. So everyone, according to Revelation 22, is rewarded according to their works. So once a person dies, they sort of set as which side they're going to be on. while there's life, the Bible says, there's hope. And so we want to be praying and we want to be encouraging and we want to be a good witness to our fellow man. But once somebody dies, then their judgment is the next thing that happens when Jesus comes. They are judged. So praying for somebody who has passed away really has no biblical value or biblical purpose. Does that make sense, Marva?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for your amazing question. Wonderful show.
Bless All right.
you, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling, Marva. Our next call is David, listening from San Francisco. David, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you so much, and praise God for you. I'm doing 3 days off of detoxing off alcohol. I'm a fisherman here. And God's work is just going so well. My mother called me with a question from Revelations.
Sure.
And, thank you. Thank you, dear. In Jesus' name, I say thank you. I'm in Revelations chapter 3, verse 13. It says, him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Now, how do I get this spiritual ear?
Okay, good question. All right.
I'm going to Revelations. I say Revelations 21, 1-2, and he gave her space to repent of her fornication. So what is the space of God when you're not listening? He gives your ear, and where are you supposed to be at?
Okay.
Tell me, brother.
All right, well, let's take a look at that. The verse specifically here that you started with, Revelation chapter 3, verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, anyone who can hear has the opportunity to hear the truth if they will seek it. When it says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches, the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when we read the Scriptures, when we hear the Scriptures, and we follow the Scripture, or we surrender our lives to Christ, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, then we have that spiritual ear, so to speak. Then we are listening to what the Spirit says. So it's through the Scriptures. It's not just sort of a emptying of our mind and allowing any kind of idea to float through. No, it's focusing our mind on what the Word says and seeking God to give us guidance as we study His Word. The same Spirit that inspired the prophets of old who wrote the Bible is present to guide our minds when we study the Bible. So that's what it's meaning when it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In other words, hear what God is communicating to us through His Word, through the Spirit, and then ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance as you read the Bible.
Okay, in Revelation said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication.
Yes.
Because, you know, Jezebel, that she was just, she claimed herself to be a prophetess.
Right. Right,
and we have Pastor Dollar claiming to be a reverend. We have T.D. Jakes claiming. We have everybody's calling themselves this and that. You know.
Right.
So where is that space at? That we can get the space. You know, because y'all preach the true word of God.
Right. Well,
And you give us that space. Where is that space that God wants us to wait at?
Yeah, good question. Well, you know, that space of time is life that God has given each person. So we're living in that space of time right now, and God is wanting us to study the Word and to conform our lives into harmony with the teachings of the Word. Now, specifically the verse that you referred to there in Revelation where God gave us space to repent of our sins, Jezebel in that context represents an apostate religious system that persecuted God's people throughout history. And God in His mercy even gave this system an opportunity to hear the preaching of the Word and to respond to that and to repent of her evil deeds, but she did not repent. And so her probationary time as a whole, this system, this false system's probationary time came to an end. So God gives each person an opportunity to hear the truth and to respond to that, to respond to the teachings of Scripture. That's the probationary time that God has given to every person. And everyone is accountable for what we do with our lives and what we do with that probationary time that God has given us. Good question, David. We appreciate your call. You might like the book that we mentioned a little earlier. It's The Search for the True Church. And if you'd call the number 800-835-6747, you can just ask for that free resource. We'll be happy to send that to you, David, or anyone who calls and asks. Our phone number here to the studio is 800-463-7297. If you have a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you Tonight, we have Brian listening from Florida. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about people that claim that they've, or were pronounced dead, and they claim that they went somewhere and came back, and they have a story to tell. In particular, I'm speaking about a fellow named Bill Weiss. I'm not sure if you know him, but he claims that he was in hell for 23 minutes. And he gives a pretty good description.
Kind of gives a report of that, yeah.
Description.
Well, let me say a few words about that. Often these encounters or these experiences come from what's referred to as a near-death experience. And it seems like we hear more and more about this because with modern technology and medical advances, people are able to be brought back to life, quote-unquote, for situations which in the past a person would die. So in other words, somebody has a massive heart attack. They're able to do CPR and perform different things to try and preserve that person's life. And then they come out of that experience, and sometimes they have an experience that they want to share or something that they've seen. Some of these near-death experiences have been described as the result of a lack of oxygen to the brain in some cases. The accounts differ very widely. In other words, one person's experience of what heaven is like can be very different from another. Some say they experience heaven. Others say they might even experience what hell is like. So every person's experiences may be a little different, but it could be the result of, as we said, some natural causes, the lack of oxygen to the brain. Even people that suffered high fevers sometimes experience a certain degree of hallucination, depending upon what the sickness is that they have. Now, if you want to know what the Bible says on the subject, the Bible is pretty clear that the dead don't know anything. So when somebody's actually dead, I'm not talking about these near-death experiences, but somebody who's actually dead, they're in an unconscious state until the resurrection. The Bible speaks in Thessalonians of the Lord coming down, and it's at that point that the dead in Christ are raised, and they are caught up to meet him in the air. So if we're going to follow what the Bible says, it's pretty clear on what happens to a person when he dies. They're in the grave waiting for the judgment, waiting for the second coming. Go ahead.
Yeah, but does the spirit go to God?
Well, the Bible says the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, that spirit that returns to God is the breath of life. It's that spark of life that comes from God that we all share. But that spirit of life, that breath of life, is shared by both the righteous and the unrighteous. And when the righteous dies, his spirit returns to God. And when the wicked dies, his spirit returns to God. In other words, God has given life to all people, to all mankind. So that essence of life, that spark of life, returns to God at the point of death. That's why there's a resurrection. It's at the resurrection that the righteous are raised, and the wicked are raised at the end of that 1,000-year period that we were speaking about a little earlier, and that's when they receive their reward. Somebody doesn't receive their reward the moment they die, and suddenly they're in heaven. No, they receive the reward at the second coming of Christ, when they are resurrected. Then they are caught up to meet Jesus in the air, and then they go with him for 1,000 years.
Yeah, but Jesus said that. He said, whoever believes in me will never die. And he told the thief on the cross, he said that today, this day, you will be with me in paradise.
Well, yes, that was a promise that Jesus made to the thief that very day, that he would be with him in paradise. But I want you to notice, Jesus didn't go to paradise that day. And if you read on in the Gospels, it says in the first day of the week, when Christ rose from the grave, he said to Mary Magdalene, do not detain me, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. So Jesus gave the thief the promise that very day that he would be with him in paradise. Now, the thief wasn't planning on going to paradise that very moment when he died, because the thief asked the question, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So, that repentant thief understood that his reward was to be given when Christ comes back again, when he comes in his kingdom, which is at the second coming of Christ. You know, we do have a free offer on this subject, and it deals with this specifically, the thief on the cross and some of these other questions that you raised. It's dealing with the state of the dead. It says, Do the Dead Know Anything? What does the Bible teach on that subject? And we'll be happy to send that study guide to you if you call and ask for it. It's 800-835-6747. And you can, the study guide, Is the Dead Really Dead? Is what the name of the study guide is. We also have a website called deathtruth.com. And you can go take a look at it right now and look at what the Bible says on this important subject. Thank you for your call, Brian. We appreciate it. Our next call is Harry, and Harry is listening in Bartsville. Harry, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I have a question in Matthew. It's the parable of the unforgiving debtor, and it really, my question starts in verse 25, where he talks about to repay the debt. And I've, in my margin, I've written the word sin for repay the debt. That would be our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 27, it says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And I wrote down that's forgiveness, that God gives us, that's forgiving our sins. He canceled the debt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. Now my question really, it starts over on verse 34.
Now, what chapter are you in? What book and chapter?
I'm in chapter 18. It's the debt of the unforgiving debtor.
Okay. Yes, I got it.
Okay. And then in verse 34, it says, in anger, his master, this is after the guy didn't forgive the other,
his seven, sure.
His other fellow the debt.
Yeah.
A smaller debt. And so the master says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And is that, I know I'm misreading this, is that, it sounds like Jesus is dumping my debt back on me if I don't forgive somebody else. Is that what it's saying?
Yes, Jesus is pointing out that if we really understand the gift that God has given us, in
yes.
forgiveness, when we really yes. understand how much we have been forgiven for our sins by Christ and what he paid for our forgiveness, when we look at others through that perspective, and even though they've done things to us and have hurt us, when we look at what God has done to forgive us, we need to pray and say, Lord, give me a forgiving spirit that I can forgive another. If
Amen.
We
I
refuse
do believe that,
to have
too.
That, yeah, if we refuse to have a forgiving spirit and, you know, we're, like the parable says, we're unkind to our fellow man,
right.
Then how can we really believe or receive the forgiveness that Christ wants to give us? It's having a forgiving spirit that we can really recognize how much Christ has forgiven us. You know, in
so
the Lord's
really
Prayer...
us. It's not him.
Yeah, it's us. It's us. Yeah. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. So when we have a spirit of forgiveness to others, then we can appreciate the forgiveness that God gives to us. But if we refuse to forgive another, we mustn't deceive ourselves to think now that we can claim God's forgiveness and be unkind to our fellow man.
Oh, that's great. That explains it. Man, I was confused there for a little bit, but thank you so much for straightening that out for me.
Good question. Thank you for calling, Harry. You might also like that book that we mentioned, Teach Us to Pray, and it deals a little bit with principles of prayer and when it comes to forgiving another, how we receive God's forgiveness. I think you'll find that interesting. The number for our resource line is 800-835-6747, and you can ask for the book Teach Us to Pray. Our next call is Ken, and Ken is listening from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you. I have a prophecy question. It actually has two parts. One is, the first one is in Ezekiel 39, the Gog-Magog War, and I've heard it in terms of when it occurs, and I've listened to a couple of people who deal in that and just speak on prophecy, and the two that I've listened to put it at the first of the seven-year tribulation. But when I read it, and I read that they burn the products of that vow, God miraculously preserved Israel when the people around, including what many say is Russia, involving some of the Islamic countries attack Israel, God miraculously saves Israel and destroys the invaders. and it takes 7 years to burn the products of their tools and things like that, and 7 months to clean up the bodies. I don't understand how that can fit in the 7 year tribulation.
Sure.
If they're going to be at 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation takes over. You know, they're going to already have their hands full.
Okay. Well, let me address first the term Gog and Magog. The word Gog and Magog is found also in Revelation chapter 20, and it describes the enemy of God's people at the end of time. So it's a broad term. It's not referring specifically to certain nations, but in a general sense, Gog and Magog represent the enemy of God's people. According to Revelation chapter 13, just before Jesus comes, there is a death decree that is passed against the true worshipers of God, those who refuse to get the mark of the beast. Finally, there's a death decree that's passed against them. So they set a date when they're going to try and destroy those who are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But before that death decree can actually be put into effect, Jesus comes to deliver his people. So the wicked are described as coming up against God's people at the end of time, under the words Gog and Magog. It's the enemy of God's people. But God comes to the rescue of his people. And as a result, the enemy of God's people, they are destroyed. And that's this prophetic picture that you see in Ezekiel chapter 39.
So the Ezekiel war and the
Revelation 22.
The Armageddon war are two different, are the same battle? Or
Revelation is drawing imagery from Ezekiel. So it's describing, it's drawing certain symbols from Ezekiel, but in Revelation it has a far broader sense. So we're not just talking about the nation of Israel or specific nations as far as Gog and Magog, like Russia or China or something like this. Rather, we're talking on a universal scale. At the end of time, those who are attacking or coming against God's people, they fall into the category of Gog and Magog. And Israel would be a symbol of God's people, whether they literal Jews or whether they symbolic Jews, those who believe in God, those who believe in Christ, that's his people. And he comes to their deliverance at the end of time. Gog and Magog are destroyed. They're finally overthrown, and they can't persecute God's people anymore. You know, we do have a study guide that deals with this whole subject of the 1,000 years and an attack by the enemy of God's people against the true followers of God. We'll send that to you, Ken, or anyone who wants to study this subject. It's a deep subject. If you want to study this a little further, the number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called A 1,000 Years of Peace, and I think you'll find that an interesting study. We have Rob, who is listening from Colorado. Rob, welcome to the program. Rob, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, we got about 2 minutes. What's your question tonight?
My question basically is suicide, and if there's any scriptures that pertain to suicide and where someone might go.
Okay.
If they commit this act.
All right. Well, that's a good question. I think all of us at some time or another in our life have known somebody or maybe even a family member who has committed suicide. Perhaps we've even entertained the thought from a time or two. But the truth of the matter is, as long as there's life, there is hope. And even if things are going hard, we want to be able to cry out to the Lord, and he's able to help us. He's able to give us strength and carry us through. Now, what about somebody who has committed suicide? First of all, we don't know the heart. God knows the heart. And there are different circumstances that might occur in a person's life that leads to it. I know sometimes they're suffering severe depression, or maybe it's because of a medication that they might be taking where they can't think clearly. But that is something that as Christians, you know, we never want to pursue. You don't want the last act of your life being giving up on God, or an act of faithlessness where you are saying, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to take my life and end it all. No, God's able to help us and guide us through every situation that we face. However, somebody who has committed suicide, we can't judge the heart. We don't know the circumstances, and we just place that in God's hands and say, Lord, you know. It's comforting to know also that God is in the business of saving people. He's not trying to keep people out of the kingdom. He's trying to get as many people as he can in the kingdom. You know, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. And so he knows the struggles or the pain or the turmoil that each individual might be going through. And so we can just place these situations in God's hands, knowing that He loves everyone and He will do the right thing. Thank you so much for your call, Rob. You can hear the music playing in the background, friends. We are out of time for this edition of Bible Answers Live. It's always a joy to study God's Word together. And friends, take a look at our website, amazingfacts.com, for more information. And God willing, we'll be back next week to study more.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program. And join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our Ministry Partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend, and thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning, and he'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in All the Bible, a new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.